All right, everybody. Donald Trump is currently melting down in the Oval Office. And, you know, it reminds me of a few very simple litmus tests that I have for our 2028 Democratic candidates. I mean, one obvious one is that we're looking for somebody who can be very clear-eyed about special interest groups, pledge to not send a single penny to Israel or take a single penny from AIPAC in unconditional manners as we have. We can have allies like Ukraine, but we need to call out Israel for their settlements in the West Bank and their genocide in Gaza. That's important. Another one is I want somebody who is very, very clear-eyed about creating laws that prevent officials in power from spreading lies about our elections. Donald Trump and the Republicans around him, like Carrie Lake, and basically the mainstream Republicans throughout the party, have been spreading lies about our elections because Trump is mainstream, this type of lying and rhetoric. But a new one that I was just reminded of by Donald Trump's insane Oval Office meltdown is that I want our 2028 Democratic frontrunner to commit to indicting Donald Trump over this post right here. Remember when Donald Trump shared an image of President Biden hogtied in the back of a truck? Remember when he said he was going to end a civilization? He made fun of Rob Reiner. He made fun of Mueller. Remember when he said that we should hang the six Congress members who made a post? Remember when he made jokes about Nancy Pelosi's husband after she was beaten by a hammer? All of that is way larger in scale than whatever James Comey gathered or stumbled upon on the beach. It was a bunch of seashells that said 86-47, which could very plausibly definitely means remove Donald Trump from office via impeachment. And they are indicting James Comey over it because the first indictment fell apart. Watch this clip of Donald Trump getting asked about this indictment. And as always, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. It's the best way to boost our pro-democracy message in the algorithms. Thank you.
How busy you were this morning. James Comey was in court. He self-surrendered. He's now been charged a second time. This time over a social media post with seashells that said 86-47. Do you really think that he was endangering your life or threatening your life with that?
Well, if anybody knows anything about crime, they know 86. You know what 86? It's a mob term for kill 'em. You know? You ever see the movies? 86 'em. The mobster says to one of his wonderful associates, 86 'em. That means kill 'em. It's, I think of it as a mob term. I don't know. People think of it as something having to do with disappearing, but the mob uses that term to say when they want to kill somebody, they say 86, the son of a gun. I'm trying to keep the language nice and clear. They don't use that term, son of a gun. They use another term. But that's a mob term for kill him. Yeah.
But do you really think your life was in danger?
Probably. I don't know. You know, based on what I'm seeing out there, yeah, the people like Comey have created tremendous danger, I think, for politicians and others. He, you know, Comey is a dirty cop. He's a very dirty cop. He cheated on the elections. He tried to help Hillary Clinton, as you know. He dismissed a lot of things that he should have proceeded with. I wasn't involved, but he should have proceeded with. No, he's a dirty cop. He's a crooked man.
All right, let me remind you, Donald Trump is supposed to be doing an event for astronauts. He's doing an event with astronauts at NASA who have accomplished a lot, and he's sidetracking it with his deranged ramblings. It gets worse, but let me just back up and show you the surrounding context to these rants.
Unbelievable. A lot of other things, too, by the way. To get in there, you have to be very smart. You have to do a lot of things physically good. So I would have had no trouble making it. I'm physically very, very good. Maybe a little bit of a problem. I don't know, sure. We'll have to try it sometime. Is a president allowed to go up in one of these missions?
We can get working on that, Mr. President.
We'd have no problem, right?
We're going to launch more rockets. The opportunity.
We'll have to try it. Congratulations very much.
Thanks.
And by the way, their families are over here, beautiful families, and they're in the Oval Office, and they walked in. They said, wow, the Oval Office. Everybody likes the Oval Office. So, any questions, please?
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, it's a great honor to meet all of you. Congratulations, and welcome to the White House. I have had the privilege of interviewing Gene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon. Is that what you would like to do? And, Mr. President, do you think that will happen during your second term?
Well, we have a shot at it. I mean, we don't like to say definitely, because then you say, oh, we failed.
Let me remind you, Donald Trump is currently defunding NASA to create more of a budget for the military. I am not making this up. He is currently defunding our Space Force and our ability to invest money in R&D, research and development in space, because he wants to fund the military even more. Let me show you this moment that is quite ridiculous. Donald Trump asks Jared Isaacman, the NASA administrator, if he's heard of these questions. He heard these questions because his ears are so big, and then it awkwardly zooms in on him. This is
Texas, Ohio, and Florida.
Well, the best man to tell you that is the man standing right over here. You heard that question with those beautiful ears of yours?
Yes.
He's got great hearing, you know. He's got super hearing.
Trick of the trade, sir.
That might have been the most awkward thing I've seen come out of this Oval Office.
Man to tell you that is the man standing right over here. You heard that question with those beautiful ears of yours?
Yes.
He's got great hearing, you know. He's got super hearing.
Trick of the trade, sir.
Trump is like those toddlers that can't control their thoughts, and they ask you why there's that pimple on your face. They don't have that social cue telling them not to say something, yet he's 80 years old, and he is also lacking that social cue, and he's the president of the effing United States. It begins to manifest in quite scary ways, like in this clip when he's asked about Vladimir Putin.
You spoke to Vladimir Putin not too long ago. Did you talk to him Did you talk to him about progress in the space area, and what else did you talk
about? I didn't talk about space, no. I talked about Ukraine, and I talked a little bit about Iran. I talked about a few different subjects, mostly about Ukraine, and we had a very good conversation. I think we're going to come up with a solution relatively quickly, I hope.
What was he
like? I think he'd like to see a solution, I can tell you, and that's good.
What involvement does he want to have in the Iran situation?
He told me he'd like to be involved with the enrichment, if he can help us get it. I said I'd much rather have you be involved with ending the war with Ukraine. To me, that would be more important, because we're gonna have that. Look, we're not gonna let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
This is one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen. Vladimir Putin endlessly taunts and plays Donald Trump in a manner that I've never seen anything like it. He continues to elongate the war in Ukraine while dangling keys in front of Trump's face, saying he'll help Trump end this war, help him do this. And yet, Trump can't actually get any substantive end to the war between Russia and Ukraine. We should hold Trump supporters and MAGA pundits more accountable for the fact that they repeatedly said this war would be over on day one and inflation would be over, and we've seen quite the opposite. Let me show you this clip of Trump being asked about the Voting Rights Act.
Mr. President, in light of today's Supreme Court ruling on the Voting Rights Act, do you want Republican states in the South to look at redrawing congressional districts before the midterms?
I don't know, you have to tell me, when did the ruling come out? I've been with the astronauts. I've been with contractors because we're trying to get the ballroom built ahead of schedule. It's right on schedule. It's ahead of schedule now. I want to keep it that way.
The ruling came out today.
And I was also with commissioning some people, but one of, David Waring.
They want us to pay for the ballroom now. We were told that the ballroom would be paid for by random companies, which is also scary in its own right, but now we're paying for it.
On your call with President Putin today, do you think the war in Iran ends first or the war in Ukraine?
Well, we talked about more about the war in Ukraine, but he would like to be of help.
What did I tell you? Oh, my God. Vladimir Putin literally dangled the keys in front of Trump. What do you mean you talked to him more about the war in Iran? You got the chance to talk to war criminal Vladimir Putin, and you didn't press him at all about the war in Ukraine? What a weak, pathetic president.
Listen, before you help me, I want to end your war.
Weak,
so,
pathetic.
We had a good talk. I've known him a long time. I think he was ready to make a deal a while ago. I think some people made it difficult for him to make a deal, but we talked more about Ukraine.
But which war do you think ends first?
That's an interesting question. You know, coming from you, that's very interesting. Which war would end first? I don't know. Maybe they're on a similar timetable. I think Ukraine, militarily, they're defeated.
Okay? What is wrong with this old guy? He said, that's an interesting question coming from you. He's like trying to imply that the media is pro-war. No, we're just pro-rationality. We understand that when Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine and we want Ukraine to fight back, we're not pro-war, we're pro-self-defense. When you start a war with Iran and Iran begins to gain more leverage, we're not anti-United States, we're just pro-rational decision-making. I love our troops and I want our troops to stay safe and make smart decisions. I want their chain of command to have their best interests in mind. I'm not sure we have that right now. We have this guy.
Question with those beautiful ears of yours.
Can't even stop himself. He has no filter whatsoever. Let's listen to this final clip about the blockade.
How long are you prepared to maintain the blockade? Could that go several more months?
Well, the blockade is genius, okay? Has been 100% foolproof. It shows how good our Navy is, I can tell you that. Nobody's going to play games. We have the greatest military in the world, and I built much of it during my first term, and we've been building it since. And the greatest anywhere in the world, nobody even close. And you see that, whether it's Venezuela, and they have a good military in Venezuela, but it was over in one day. It was actually over in about 48 minutes. Iran, the same thing. I mean, militarily, we've wiped them out. They have no military left. It's all the Navy's at the bottom of the sea. The Air Force is never going to fly again. We've got an amazing military. Now they have to cry uncle. That's all they have to do. Just say, we give up.
They had that opportunity, and they decided not to come to the negotiating table. In fact, other countries are making memes about the fact that Iran has their own naval blockade. And rather than actually fix this in any meaningful substantive way, the infantile solution coming from the United States was to just create our own naval blockade a little bit over. We're effing kidding, right? This is embarrassing. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.